You can remain standing. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning, God. We want a principle within of godly fear. And Father, we want to see your holiness. We thank you for this time here this morning. Would you bless us? Would you bring life to the words that I speak? Without that, it is nothing. And Father, I pray that you'd protect me today. I know that I could easily be misunderstood. And we pray that you'd have mercy on us and bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Well, as always, when I think I know what I'm going to say, then when I get into the Word, then things take a little bit of a different direction. But still, I'd like to talk about the fear of God this morning. And I think the title is Fear God and Keep His Commandments. So I actually think about this a lot. What does it mean to fear God? What does it mean to fear God? We read it. It's many times in the Bible that it says to fear God. I didn't count how many, but I read all of the passages of fear, or at least parts of them, and. So, some would say it means to revere God, to have reverence. And sometimes it does. And if you look at the definition of, there are several numbers there for the word fear. reverence is there. But it can't just be reverence. That doesn't work. One reason is that sometimes God Himself says to not fear. So why would God say, don't reverence at this moment? So that doesn't make sense. That it's always just that it's always just reverence. But sometimes it is that. And in Matthew 10:28, there's a good example where it says, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him, which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So the word fear is used there both times. It says, fear not them, but fear Him. So I'd like to talk a little bit about wisdom. And wisdom and deception. And also, then again, the fear of God. So there are several passages that I'd like to read, and for the sake of time, I'm not going to turn to them, but I've got them written out, but you're welcome to turn there. Job 28:28 says this, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. So we have wisdom and understanding both in that passage. Psalms 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And then my favorite is in Proverbs 9:10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So, to me, there it begins to, you know, it begins to come together. The knowledge of the holy. What is the knowledge of the holy? And I suppose somebody could Somebody could say a lot about, which people already have, obviously, said a lot about what the knowledge of the holy is. But how do we define wisdom? How do we define wisdom, or who do we call wise? If we look at the world around us and the people we know, there is a lot of knowledge out there, and there are a lot of people doing big things, but it doesn't come from the wisdom of God. And we're not going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, but it has a lot to say about God's wisdom and the wisdom of the world. And you can read that, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But in the same chapter, in chapter 3, verse 19, it says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God." So who are today's wise men? You know, who is on the news? Who is who do we meet that are doing, in the world's eyes, big things? But I think that according to the biblical definition of wisdom, they're fools. Those educated people that are doing big things, they don't have enough wisdom to not get divorced, to do something as simple as take their children to church and raise them up in the fear of God. One of the things that I find, just from a worldly standpoint, you know, there are a lot of things done out there, but one of the things that just kind of amazes me from a worldly standpoint is these tall buildings that they build. Now, we just had a big wind a week ago, and things got shaken. But they're now building a skyscraper, and I don't even remember which country it is. But the ratio, this ratio has never been used before. It's 1 to 24. So 1 inch wide, like 1 inch for every 24 inches of height. And to me, that's just mind-boggling. And then we get weather, but they have the knowledge to keep this thing upright. But that is not the wisdom of God. God gave them a brain, obviously. But that is not the wisdom of God. Not for a minute. So, I remember years ago Brother Marshall preaching, and I don't remember what the message was. I just remember he said this in the message. He actually talked a little bit about this fear of God, and some people would say it's reverence. And Marshall said this, "It's the fear where my knees shake." And you may think that's a little strong, but I think that's okay. So one of my little definitions is this. It's the knee-shaking fact that all sin has consequences. That is, I think that's a good place to start with the fear of God. All sin has consequences. If we don't believe that, then we're not believing God. God will do what He says every time. So if all sin has consequences, what is sin? John says that in 1 John 5:17, all unrighteousness is sin. So let's not forget the passage in Proverbs where it says that the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. So if all unrighteousness is sin, and there will be, in some way, God deals with all those things. So the first thing a lot of times the first thing we do is deceive ourselves. You know, I don't think there's as much danger in somebody else deceiving me as there is in me deceiving myself. So what did I do and why did I do it, you know? And I can rationalize and I can do all kinds of fancy things with that. And somehow I know why I did that and somehow I will get by. But let's turn to Galatians chapter 6. To me, this is one of the most eye-opening definitions of deception to me. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." So be not deceived. God is not mocked. God will be true. So everything that we sow, there will also be a reaping. That's more sure than anything we see in here. "He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." And, you know, we've heard this phrase, we've probably all heard it, you know, sin will take you farther than you want to go, however it goes. So how far can we go with self-deception? That is, I'm not going to share very much of this, it's probably not proper, but about 10 days ago, I was shaken like I've never been shaken before. Somebody that I considered a friend and a brother has been living horrible, horrible sin for decades. He'll probably go to prison. I thought we were close. Of course, I don't see him every day. I see him. But the thing is, he's unrepentant. I don't think anything has ever shaken me the way that has. I didn't want to believe it. I couldn't believe it, but I had to believe it. That is how far self-deception can go. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, it says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." So, now, what are the commandments? And I'm afraid, you know, sometimes I hear things that I just cringe. What do we think when we think of the commandments? What are God's commandments? And I'm not here to define all of that today. But those commandments, fear God and keep His commandments, those commandments are not just the external things we do. I'm not even sure how many of those external things we do would fall under God's commandments. I'll just not try to get into that too deep this morning. But we know that the ungodly can do a lot of those things. So it's far more. God's commandments are far more than what we decide to do with our body or our life. So this is another one of my favorite verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So I'm still thinking about the flesh and spirit, the filthiness of the flesh and spirit. It's not the same thing. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 23. I don't know how else to help. to bring some clarity to what I'm thinking here. And we know Matthew chapter 23 is a long list of scathing rebukes from Jesus to the scribes and Pharisees, or wherever the shoe fit that day, I guess. But I'd like to read verse 23, or start in verse 23. Matthew 23:23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. Now we'll just stop there. So, what I'd like to bring out here is the fact that we already know it, but we can do all of these outward, external things right, but where's the heart? And we could turn to Matthew chapter 5 and go through a long list of things where, from the Beatitudes on through, where Jesus said it used to be this way, but now it's this way. It used to be this external thing, but now it's the heart. It's what's going on inside of you. It's where our being changes. Now, to finish up here, back to 2 Corinthians 7:1. It says to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. So, if I could paraphrase that a little bit, let us cleanse ourselves from all unholiness of the body and the inner man, or the mental disposition of who we are. And it says perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now this word fear is, there are several different words that are translated fear in the New Testament. And this word fear has no... The definition that I found in the concordance has no connotation of reverence. This word fear, but it's many times it's translated as terror or trembling, fear of torment. There's not a hint of reverence in any of those other passages where this word is translated, or where this word was used. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So somehow, we have to get a hold of that. And if we fear God and keep His commandments, then we know, we believe God, we know that there are consequences for everything. And He is calling us to cleanse ourselves. But to go back then, that verse in Proverbs where it says, the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And if we... I think what I want to say here is let's not run around and try to figure out so much how we're going to cleanse ourselves and do this or that, but get a knowledge of the holy and see His holiness and who we are compared to that, and use that as a basis to work from. That's all I have. God bless you.